today about such a sodistic topic. It's a very important letter of Rav Huttner, and what we're going to try to do is really two things. Number one is to understand Rav Huttner's letter and contextualize it within the thought of Rav Huttner. What's really behind this letter? What does Rav Huttner really mean? And how did this impact different areas of Torah? We'll speak about two ma'amarim and shvuas that relate to Rav Huttner's letter and about what it means to be a Talmid Chacham and a certain kind of relationship to Torah, which is certainly appropriate for shvuas. And then we're going to speak about the Rav's relationship, how I think the Rav, without ever talking obviously directly about Rav Huttner's letter, definitely the way that he would have related to the struggle and to the issue that Rav Huttner is responding to. Let's start and go right in with the letter. I know a lot of us are familiar with the letter because Rav Yamer is very fond of it. We're going to try to still read the letter, try to understand the letter and what exactly is going on. Rav Huttner is writing the letter to somebody who is struggling with their secular career. They experience the equivalent of a double life. They feel like they have... Now, we don't have, to my knowledge at least, I'm not aware of the original letter written to Rav Huttner, but the person, apparently, you can infer from what Rav Huttner wrote, the person wrote that they're struggling a lot in their secular career because they feel religiously a certain, again, element of a double life. They feel like they have their time period when they're learning and when they're davening, and that's all very, very good. And they feel like they have their time where they're working, and they feel like there's no connection at all. And there's an inherent stira that exists between those two parts of their lives. And Rav Huttner writes as follows. I got your letter, and I wanted to say as follows. Number one, I was nana a lot from your letter because... first of all, the way that it was written, and second of all, because you were open with me describing some of the struggles you were going through. That we spoke about relates to the first week of Rav Huttner and Rebbe Talmud relationships. Rav Huttner thinking that his Talmidim should be very close to him, his Talmidim should be very comfortable with him, and they should be very open about some of the struggles they have in their lives. But he says, I have to tell you that I think your struggle, mikorim hitfisam utasma in hanidim, I think you've made a fundamental error, and that fundamental error has caused a certain amount of tension in your life. Secular career, he double life. It sounds, when I'm going through your letter, that you are under the mistaken impression that having a secular career is some sort of a double life. That one could have expected, when I was in touch with Yossi Bronstein, who's teaches in YU now, and is a good friend and an incredible resource, and he's really a fantastic human being. And he pointed out to me that there's another way you could have gone in the letter. One of the Mahalchim would have emerged from a Nefesh HaChaim and Char Aleph is to say, no, secular career is important, but it's unnecessary. You can't steal, and you have to have food. So secular career is really some form of a very bidyeved kind of an existence. That's not what Rav Huttner says. Rav Huttner says, your problem is that you're viewing it as a double life. And what Rav Huttner plays up in a certain sense is the way that a person relates to their secular career. And Rav Huttner writes as follows. Just like, as an example, you're right, if you have a one-room studio apartment in Manhattan, and then you also have a one-room, you're renting a hotel room somewhere else out there in Westchester, whatever it is, that's called a double life. That's called a double life because you have one house here, and you have another house here. But a person who has an apartment with multiple rooms in it, we don't call that a double life, we call it a broad life. It's one house that's larger. It's one house that has multiple places there. So to Huttner, that's the yesod, that's how a person relates to their secular career, not as a double life, a sort of tension that exists between me here and me there, but it's the same person, and it all relates to one nekuda. It all comes back to one place. He writes, the Chazal tell us, when you're saying Shema, you are ma'arich be'echad. The word echad, you say a little bit longer. You are zocha to a long life. Rav Huttner says, the pshat is like this. A person who is ma'arich be'echad is a person who understands that ultimately there can be many different things going on in my life. I can be spread out. I can have a life when I'm in a Beis Medrash and a life when I'm not in a Beis Medrash, a life when I'm working. There can be a life when I'm on vacation. I have a lot of different parts of my life. But if Huttner understands, they can all be viewed as being ma'arich be'echad. When the Ribono Sha'olam stands, he writes as follows, Zohi chavivi chovasla b'olam, but your chiyuv is, leha'amid b'merkaz chayecha es ha'echad. If you have in the center of your life the Ribono Shel Olam, if you view everything that's going on in my life, it's because it's Ratzon Hashem. What does God want from me now? So then you understand Kol Nikuda Chadasha, all new things that you get. So they may be new, but they're all expanding. They're all surrounding one center point in the middle of that circle, and that is the Ribono Shel Olam. And the footner says a person with a broad life is a person who, in a certain sense, looks like he's somewhat spread out. I have some of my life is here, and some of my life is there. But it all integrates very nicely into a recognition of the Ribono Shel Olam being in the center. And I experience less tension, I experience much more harmony. Because it's all a question of Ma'arich Be'echad, of realizing the role the Ribono Shel Olam plays in the middle. Rav Huttner gives an example of who is a figure, who is a person that models this broad life. So he says, when I was in Yerushalayim, Zichuni Shebikarti Pam Yerushalayim, based on Cholam Shel Dr. Valak, he visited a certain doctor. And he saw that when this doctor would go, right before he would operate, in a patient, he would say, what's your name and what's your mother's name? And before he would go in, he would daven a short tefillah before he would engage in the surgery. And Rav Huttner said, when I told this to Ephraim Yucham, Ben Gedolei Yerushalayim, when I said this maysa over, that this doctor, this is what he does, to one of the greats of Yerushalayim, so he said to me, how jealous do we have to be of the way this doctor acts? This is the doctor Rav Huttner who understood a broad life. There's not a tension between him davening on the one hand and him and his working as a doctor on the other hand. It was all one. It was all viewed for that doctor as part of his avodas Hashem, as part of his religious responsibilities. He didn't experience tension when he was asking for tefillah. He understood that both his tefillah and his surgery were all part of a certain kind of quest to help that patient. I remember once I went a bunch of years with my family to Lakewood on Purim. I have a bunch of cousins there. My grandma lives there. And one of my cousins there is close to Rav Shustal, the Rosh Shiva there in BMG. So we used to go on Purim afternoon to Rav Shustal. So I remember Rav Shustal once having a similar line to my father. My parents are doctors, and he had a similar line to my father. He said to my father to realize as you're a doctor, you know, the incredible role that the Ribono Shel Olam plays also, and that that's less of a stira of different sides. You should just really just go for it. That's less of a stira, and that's much more all of some kind of an integrated approach to the role that Ribono Shel Olam plays, and to recognize and be aware of them. This within Rav Huttner is not just something that Rav Huttner wrote about in this particular letter, but it's something which impacts some of his ma'amar and pachad Yitzchak. One is a maimar and pachad Yitzchak, and Shavuos maimar tes zayin. His daughter in the Sefer Zikaron, the maran ba pachad Yitzchak, that in source number 3. So his daughter makes the connection between this maimar and the letter. It's a maimar and Shavuos talking about kinds of chachamim. And Rav Huttner has I find it to be a very powerful insight. Rav Huttner says, "Rabim heimachilukim sh'anu monim bein shnei sugei chachamim l'mineihem." There are two kinds. There are two kinds of chachamim that a person can interact with. There are people, says Rav Huttner, who specialize. They're very, very knowledgeable about one realm, and they focus all the time on that one realm. That's all they do. It's a very narrow kind of a focus, and they specialize. That is it. There are also people, said Rav Huttner, that the nature of their chachma is not one to be kolkulo, focusing only on one area, but rather, says Rav Huttner, it's a kind of orientation where you're much more spread out. It's the kind of person who seems to have a bit of expertise in a wide variety of areas. You're talking to them, and they're not just a person who can answer a question in one realm, they can answer a question in multiple realms. Rav Huttner says each of those chachamim, and we probably in our own mind can envision, can think about people who fit into each one of those categories, Rav Huttner says each of those people is jealous of the other. Because the person who is spread out all over the place, while recognizing a maila in knowing multiple things, he knows that he's never going to have that certain expertise which comes with singular focus. He knows that because he's taking the mashal, guys in college, he's taking a class in English literature, and a class in math, and a class in accounting, the guys in psychology, so he's never going to have the expertise of someone who's just taking classes in psychology. He's never going to have that same level of expertise because he's all over the place, so he's jealous in a certain sense of the person with the singular focus. But the person with the singular focus, while he knows that he may know the example of psychology better than anyone else, that person, says Refutner, is also jealous of the guy that's spread out. Because the guy who has singular focus knows he's also missing out on something. He knows that he's also, it's a certain narrow kind of an existence, and it stems in a certain sense from the challenge of going from subject to subject, from realm to realm, and therefore remains a bit narrow. And that's a tension which many people have in their own intellectual pursuits, the tension between specializing and trying to be a bit broad. We all, I think, in different areas of our lives, experience tension in that regard. Refutner writes as follows. That tension exists here in Beis Refutner says, that exists not only in Chachma, but also in Midos. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, there are also two kinds of people who work on their Midos. There are people that have that one Midah that they excel at. There are people you associate with. He's an incredible Anav. Or his Chesed is unreal. And you focus on one particular Midah, and they attain a certain kind of expertise with that one particular character trait. Zachter Futter, there are also people who their Midos, they have great Midos, but not because they specialize in one, but they're working on a variety of Midos. They're trying to perfect their character in a variety of ways. Those people, say Refutner, it's the same phenomenon that exists. Each one recognizes the mila of the other, and each functions with a bit of kina sofrim, a bit of jealousy, because I know if I'm more spread out, I don't have the perfection and that mida of gaiver, that mida of kaas, the way that the other person does, but he knows he's more narrow and he hasn't worked on his kaas, he's only worked on his anava. Rav Huttner writes in Oz Gimel, All of this is based on the idea of Lohare Zeh Kahare Zeh, that they're really two different tracks. Amnam Kolzeu Kishanam Nimsan B'tchum HaTeva Shalachol. All of that, says Rav Huttner, is true, the way Rav Huttner describes it, in secular realms. In the religious realm of Akishanachim Nichnasnu T'chum HaTeva Shalakodesh, in the world of Kedusha, Nimsalanu Makom Asherbo Mizbata HaNigud V'yatchuna Shal Yichra Mikzoa U'v'yatchuna Shal Riboy HaMikzoos. Says Rav Huttner, in the realm of Kedusha, we begin to understand that there is in fact no tension, and that there is in fact no reason at all to feel like a person has to choose. Rav Huttner writes, when it comes to the realm of Kedusha, when a person understands, again, here he uses different imagery, not of a point in the middle of the circle, in the circle around, but here for Rav Huttner, the imagery is of a plant. You have one seed, it all stems from one place, a certain kind of a focus in the Ribbono Shel Olam, on pure Ruchnias, but from there it can sprout a variety. It's a large tree with different branches. It all comes back to one place, says Rav Huttner. It all comes back to one place. He writes as follows. What did you say? If I can't find the right line, I'll just move on. Sorry, it's not there. We'll go to the next paragraph now. Rav Huttner says that's really pshat in a fascinating medrash. A fascinating medrash. David, a discussion between David HaMelech and the Ribbono Shel Olam. David says, Acha sha'altim eis Hashem osavakis. I have one question. But then if you look in that Mizmor of Tehillim, David has a lot of questions. He has a lot of questions. David wants to know, Kama she'elos? Shifti beveis Hashem, lachos benoam Hashem, levakar beicholo. David has lots of questions. He said, I have one question. He has a lot of questions. So David responds, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Medrash says, Hashem, I learned it from you. You pulled the same move. Ma Hashem elokecha shomim ki'im liyira. I only want one thing that's yiras Hashem. But if you continue on in that pasuk, you're asking for lots of things. You're asking for v'yarkach. You're saying la'leches b'chol durachav, to follow all my ways. You're adding up the questions. I learned from you that even though I'm asking for one thing, I can ask for lots of things. Says Rav Huttner, what's pshat in that medrash? The pshat is not that I learned from Hashem that you're allowed to lie and ask one question, say one question related to 100 questions. The pshat, says Rav Huttner, is that all of those questions are really one question. That it looks like different questions, it's really all one. Osa avakes, all the things David HaMelech is asking for, shifti beveis Hashem, lachos benoam Hashem, levaker beichalo, all surround one nekuda, that's nekuda in the center of our lives, nekuda of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all about that. Those are all different ways of asking for one thing, which is improving that relationship. Feeling more of that presence. Feeling more of that connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. That, for Rav Huttner, is kimat the same idea that you find here in that letter about broad life and double life. Rav Huttner understands seeing different things, having wide exposure, does not mean that a person has to experience tension. A person can experience a certain form of harmony. A person can experience a certain recognition that it all connects. That it all connects. Elements of this are reminiscent of Rav Kook. Although, as Bronson pointed out to me, Rav Kook invokes it more as far as Yemos HaMashiach. Less in this world experiencing the same kind of harmony, at least in certain places. But what you find here in Rav Huttner, a certain kind of unity. I can be spread out and be in different places, but it's really a broad life. It's really all centered around one Nakuda, and not one that's so spread out. If you look, I'll just point this out. There is in source number 5, Samuel Levine is a professor of law, I think in Toro. He has smicha from YU. He was in LA, he was in California for a little bit. So he actually writes about the broad life of the Jewish lawyer. Basing it on Rav Huttner, so he writes about some of the practical sort of implementing elements of Rav Huttner's life, of that sort of a letter, how what he chose to do in law as a result, and a model of sort of in a real way, how a person has the broad life of the Jewish lawyer, trying to bring it in to different ways, and how a person can have that. That we spoke about last week, we spoke about Rav Huttner, is a lot of who Rav Huttner was. Rav Huttner was a person who drew from a lot of different sources, and when he drew from those sources, you don't get the feeling in Rav Huttner that he experienced lots of tension, the feeling for Rav Huttner that it came together in some sort of a singular way. And if you look, his daughter writes in the Sefer Zikaron, in source number 3, his daughter quotes a letter of Rav Huttner from when Rav Huttner first got the Slabodka, and Rav Huttner already there wrote, "Ani kol zman she'ein li hashkafas olam, shleima u'makefes l'uchal liyos musarin." That Rav Huttner wrote, even early on in Slabodka, he already referred to this kind of a need to feel hashkafas olam, that is shalim, that's complete, and also very, very broad. And also one that reflects a certain kind of broad life. You find this in one additional place in Rav Huttner's Ma'amarim. There are a bunch of Shvuas where some connect this idea of Rav Huttner to Ma'amarim and Shvuas. This is a very famous one, it's Ma'amar Yigimel. I don't know if this is excellent, by the way. Really excellent. I don't know if Waxman says over this Ma'amar when he gives Pachetz Shirim. It's a beautiful Ma'amar. My brother is very, very fond of it. It's a nice Ma'amar. Where else do we see this idea about a life that's not double, but a life that's all focused on one? A very famous question and answer of Tosfos in Maseches Brachos. Tosfos asked, why is it that in Birchas HaTorah, we recite Birchas HaTorah only once in the morning, and that one Birchas HaTorah goes the whole day? Even if I learn in the morning, I stop learning, I come back and I learn in the afternoon. I don't make a new bracha. My one bracha in the morning of Birchas HaTorah is chal on the entire day's learning. However, when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah, each time I go in the sukkah, I make a new bracha. Each time I'm performing the mitzvah, I make a new bracha. Wherein lies the difference between Talmud Torah and sukkah? How come in Talmud Torah I make one bracha and it's chalim the whole day's learning, even though there are breaks in between, as opposed to sukkah where you don't find that? So Tosfos ends with a line that is fascinating and requires some explanation. Tosfos says, a person never forgets their learning. You're always chayef to learn. When it comes to learning, you're chayef to learn all day. You don't have to make multiple brachas because, says Tosfos, it's as if you were engaged in learning the entire day. Now the question on that, there are really two questions to ask. One's a question which I think the average person almost like immediately responds to when they see that Torah, which is, it's just not true. I'm actually not thinking about Torah all day long. I'm actually not thinking about Torah throughout my entire day. There is a hefsek. There is a hefsek that's there. Second question, which was the question that Desmond Tesmini Achronim asked, what do you mean because you're chayiv all day, there's no hefsek? You're chayiv and tefillin all day, make your hadin. If you put on tefillin, again, mincha time, if you're, you know, feeling it. And you're putting on tefillin, and you make a new bracha. So what is it about Talmud Torah that only gets one bracha throughout the whole day? And there are a lot of mehalach on this. The Rav has a mehalach. Rav Huttner's mehalach is a fascinating, fascinating shot. To answer that question, Rav Huttner understands, and we may already intuit a little bit where it's going. Rav Huttner understands there is a concept you can be, it can be as if you're learning. Again, I'm not structuring the same way as a footnote, because I just want to get to the point. So you lose some of like the flair of Rav Huttner, in terms of the presentation and the structure. Rav Huttner understands that a person can be considered as if they are learning, even when they are not learning. A person can be considered as if they are learning, even when they're not learning. It's a certain kind of a broad life. It's a certain kind of a recognition. He thinks, dafk in the realm of Talmud Torah, in this Maimer, that a person is considered as if they're learning, even when they're not only learning. He quotes, there's a couple rayas to this. One, the Gemara in Masechah Sota. The Gemara in Masechah Sota tells us, I think in the third paragraph of Sota, that the Gemara has discussions about if certain zechuyos, certain merits that a woman has, can that protect her from the mesota. A woman cheated on her husband, she denied it, there's kinoi, there's stira, she's drinking the mesota. The Torah tells us, the Gemara describes at length in Masechah Sota what's going to happen to her, when it talks about it a little bit. So she's drinking the water, and if she drinks the water and she's guilty, she's going to die. And the Gemara talks about different machloksim. It is the arzuchuyos, but certain tanan for sure thought that there were zechuyos of the woman that could protect her from the sota water. What's an example of one of the zechuyos that could protect her? So the Gemara says zechus of Torah can protect her. The Gemara questions, how can the zechus of Torah protect her? Says the Gemara, she's not mitzuve vios, that women are not chayavos in learning. How can that zechus protect her? That's Gemara Masechet Kiddushin, that women are not chayavos in learning. So the Gemara answers, she gets zechus Torah when she sends off her husband and children to go learn. We'll save like the modern day issues of women's learning for another time. Rav Huttner says, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that her sending off her family members to go learn is the equivalent of zechus Torah. That's called the zechus of Torah. It's not a zechus of chesed because she helped someone else go and learn, but that's also called part and parcel of Torah. Rav Huttner says, he elaborates on this more in Maimer Hey in Pacha Yitzhak, he references it here, that shot when Chazal said, I think Rashi quotes with Sabracha, sometimes bitula zoi kiyuma, sometimes bitul Torah can be perceived as a fulfillment of Torah. What does that mean? It means that if I'm doing something, says Rav Huttner, Talmud Torah at its core, v'higisa bo yomim v'layla. Now something that means al derech ha-pshat, you should learn in the morning and night, but not all day and all night. But for others it means I should be learning all day and all night. I have to learn throughout the entire day. The only time, says Rav Huttner, I'm never really allowed to stop learning. The only reason I stop learning is for things that come along, and they in a broad sense are included in Torah, they enhance my Torah, they're viewed halachically as getting a certain Torah status. And Rav Huttner says that pshat sometimes bitula shelter zohi kiyuma, that sometimes being mevatel Torah constitutes a fulfillment of Torah because it enhances, it comes to be part of your Talmud Torah. It's perceived in a certain sense in the lashon of Rav Huttner, if you're using the lashon of the letter, not a tension between the time that I learn and the time that I'm engaged in other pursuits, but rather, says Rav Huttner, it's viewed as it's all one. It's all one. It's all about enhancing Torah. It's all about connections to Torah. When you're doing other things, even if it's not learning, if it's there because it comes along and it's relevant, it's shayach, it enhances that my Torah experience, not always as directly as I would think. Going to Achnasas Kal is not directly enhanced by Torah. It's sesting that my Torah being a Torah, amanas lasos, enhances the variety of ways, a very broad understanding. That's all called Torah. And Huttner says, and here I think you find elements in this mimer of that original letter, he says, that is pshat in what many Bali Machshava struggle with. Rav Moshe's tshuva about this, a very hard sugya of Yisachar and Zvulun. How does Yisachar and Zvulun work? One of them is learning and one of them is not learning. But the schar is there for all? How is that shayach? How is that possible? So I'm supporting you. So call that tzedakah. How does Yisachar and Zvulun get to the equivalent of, in the thought of Chazal, the equivalent of a certain kind of, where we're both getting schar for learning, how is that possible? Says Rav Huttner, because the work of the Zvulin, when he's engaging in that work, it's perceived as being integrated with the Torah of the Yisach. It's all a broader perspective of that also enhances, in a certain sense, the Torah of someone else, and it's connected to Torah. He writes as follows. At the end, it's the important part. V'hu adin v'hi amida gam be'iskei derech eretz. Also, when you're working, Hanichlalim Bikrad V'yasafti Ganach, the Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Hey, it's included in that pasuk. You're supposed to go work after work. The Adam Choreis B'shas Harisha V'zoreya B'shas Zriya. You're working at the time it's appropriate to work. The Gamal Iske Derech Eretz Halalu Kaihach the Bitula Zoe Kiyuma. That kind of work, if it's done with the right orientation, if it's done with a orientation of a broad life, called Ma'arich Be'echad, that you are building on that kind of a singular focus. So that is something which a Hüttner understands is also constitutes and also perceived as a certain kind of experience. As a Hüttner, that's Pshat and Tovus and Brachos also. What does Tovus and Brachos mean? I'm learning in the morning, I'm learning in the afternoon, but one bracha is chal on everything. So a Hüttner understands that is the Omek HaPshat. We're at the end of source number 4. We often near the Akam Lakas Vatovos to Mishum Chovas Alim and Kolyom Zagiracha Achas, Ella Batama Torah Dafka. This is a unique idea in regards to Talmud Torah. To Mishachas Lukama Pu'ul Zacheros, you can find a lot of different actions. Semitat Atzman Ein Lahem Shum Shaitas Lemaisa Halimut. A person can do a lot of things in life that have no connection itself directly to learning. Uvecholdos Yichosvul Esek HaTorah. But it's still viewed halakhi, it's like you're learning. Ulahachi Lodanin Lazakadas Talmud Torah. And that's why it's not called a break. A person goes and they learn in the morning, and then they go work, and then later at night they're going to learn. It's not perceived as they're really being a hefsek. Let me just, that's Rav Hüttner's approach as a whole, ma'arich be'echad, minimizing the feelings of double life when you realize there's something in the middle, and he expands that in a couple of different areas. There are other ma'amarim also. I think Rav Hüttner lived this way, so it seems, a certain breath, but Ma'arich Be'echad, all coming together within him in a singular kind of a way. And I think let me talk about two implications of Rav Hüttner. It's less of a Bayecham and a little bit more of a Shir. So I'm not going to go too much into the practical implications, but let me mention two things. One, I don't think, and this relates a lot to the Brif Satorah question as to does everyone experience it this way, but I don't, for Rav Hüttner, just doing it, there's no guarantee of having a broad life. A person, two people can have the exact same schedule, but for one of them it is a double life, and for one of them it is a broad life. The question for Rav Hüttner is whether it is your ma'arich be'echad, whether Ribono Shalom is at the center of that circle or not. The same schedule, a lot has to do with orientation. A lot has to do with how you perceive it. When I'm going to, I'll give an example for so many of us are going to be this summer working as counselors, internships, things like that. The fact that I'm hopefully learning part of my day, and I'm davening part of my day, and I'm working as a counselor, I'm working as an... Whether a person experiences that as a broad life or a double life has a lot to do with how you do it and a lot to do with how you relate to it. Am I perceiving this as all part of a broader Avodas Hashem? Sometimes more direct, sometimes less direct. Am I perceiving it as a broader Avodas Hashem? Or am I not experiencing it as that? Or am I experiencing it, I'm not thinking about my being a counselor as part of my Ma'arich Be'echad. I'm perceiving my counselor as being something different than I'm doing. That, for a Hüttner, that's a double life, and a person has to strive for a broad life. But I want to just caution one element of one thing we have to keep in mind with this Rav Hüttner. Mitzad Echad, Rav Hüttner broadens a lot the definition of Torah. What's called Torah in a certain sense, Bitula, Zoe Kiyuma, a certain connection to Torah, says if you're Osek B'Torah, it's an amazing Chiddush, that while a person is working, it can be considered like a second Torah. I think we have to be nervous just taking that too far. I think in order to experience those elements of a broad life while doing other things, it has to be strongly anchored in more direct and classical forms of Talmud Torah. A person with a good limud in the morning, a good limud at night, a person with a good structured davening throughout their day, is a person who will be much better able to experience that kind of a connection, that kind of a broad life, and we shouldn't go so far as to claim that Torah itself is not in some level probably a bit of a more direct connection. All the other things are there, why are they viewed as Torah? Because they help enhance and connect my relationship to Torah. We're not equating it the same way. We're saying it's like an Asek in Torah, but pure Asek in Torah is something certainly for a Hüttner that's paramount. And the person has to always value even when they're developing that certain kind of broad life, even when they are cultivating that. Ad kan, Rav Huttner's Mahalach. I now want to talk about the Mahalach of the Rav. I'm trying to do this very quickly. I need to give like a 90-second hakdama to the thought of the Rav for us to understand this properly. That's obviously comical, but I'm going to just two things about the Rav's thought that are going to be helpful, especially for those of us. Some of us are much more proficient in the writings of the Rav, and some of us a little bit less so. The Rav, we're focusing here less on his halakha writings, more on his philosophy. The Rav comes from a certain school of thought that the way that he wrote was often describing, like a typology, describing certain individuals. So he describes halachic man and how halachic man relates to different things. And he's describing almost in an extreme way sometimes this person called halachic man. And he has another, the lonely man of faith. And he describes how within there you have an Adam 1, Adam 2, we'll speak about in a little bit, certain figures and how they relate to this world. It is not clear when the Rav's writing this, the Rav believes everything in halachic man. He believes that what halachic man represents is something very important, and he wants to expose people to who halachic man was, a lot to learn from him, but some of the extreme element of halachic man, Ladavki does, and there's tension between different writings of the Rav. The Rav, it's not always so consistent if you're trying to think what's in halachic man and what's in only a man of faith, and what's in Bikash and Misham, and what's in whatever it is, other Sfarim of the Rav. And all of that is not because the Stiras would not have bothered the Rav so much. The Rav believed, and this we'll speak about in a second, in a certain kind of tension that a person can exist, that a person can have in this world. And when you're reading certain works of the Rav, you get certain impressions about certain things. And other works of the Rav, sometimes you get different indications. On this particular issue of the broad life, double life, the Rav, to my knowledge, never directly spoke about it. But I think you get, in certain writings, one indication of one that's a bit more similar to Huttner. And other ones, a different mahalach, aside from the broad life, more of a different kind of double life. Let's start like this. The Rav and halachic man, so halachic man really does experience a certain kind of synthesis. Halachic man is someone that does have a certain perspective. And if you read halachic man, You get here, page 93, 94, Samuel Levine, that article actually references this. The Rav has ideas that are very similar to Rav Huttner. The man in the sanctuary and the man in the marketplace are two separate and distinct personalities who have absolutely nothing in common with one another. But then he writes, the halacha, however, rejects such a personality split, such a spiritual schizophrenia. The Rav maintains, from a halachic perspective, there is no difference between the person that davens at shul and the person that goes to work. This is from Lawrence Kaplan's translation. Is not differentiated between the man who stands in the house of worship, engaged in ritual and activities, and the mortal who must wage the arduous battle of life. There is no chiluk from the halach perspective between the chiyuvim a person has who's in shul and the chiyuvim a person has who's going out to work. The halacha declares that man stands before God not only in the synagogue, but also in the public domain, in his house, while on a journey, while lying down and rising up. This line sounds very reminiscent of the thought of Rav Huttner. You're the same person wherever you are. The Rav even writes in a way, he says, some of the liberal Judaism, the Rav critiques, took the Ribono Shel Olam and moved Hashem into the shul and said that's where Hashem is and the religious experience is found primarily in the shul. But once I leave the shul, I find that less. And the Rav says, classic Judaism never believed in that. The shul is a place of a mikdash ma'at, but the Shekhinah is not only found in the shul, the Shekhinah is found everywhere. And man has the responsibility. The true sanctuary, the true Shekhinah, is the sphere of our daily mundane activities, to bring Shekhinah to every single thing that we do, for it is there that the realization of halacha takes place. That line sounds reminiscent of Rav Huttner. I would just point out with a certain kind of a twist, one that you see dafka in this particular work. The echad of Rav Huttner and the echad, what unites things for Rav Huttner, and what unites things for the Rav, I think, though I can't say with authority, is somewhat different. Definitely the way that like a Rav Yamer presents to Rav Huttner. In the thought of Rav Huttner, in a certain sense, what unites it together is, if you go back to source number one, the Nekuda Achas Omedes B'merkas HaReza Igol Echad. The Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's more of the Ribono Shel Olam in the middle. That is what I'm focusing on. That's my singular point. It's sort of kind of Ratzon Hashem. In halachic man, the emphasis and what really sort of brings that unity together, obviously Hashem is connected to this, but it's really the world of halacha. What unites it together is the fact that there are halachos dictating what I do at every stage in life is, again, not a stira, but it's a different emphasis. That's what allows me to experience. That's what helps me realize how it's all one. The fact that even when I'm working, the shaila is, so what does halacha demand of me now? And when I'm davening, the shaila is, what does halacha demand of me now? So the linchpin, what allows us to experience that unity for the Rav, is the halachic question. Whereas, again, in the thought of Rav Hudner, maybe we were saying, if I want to be a counselor in camp, so my question's going to be to experience the broad life, to go in with that orientation. This is something which is Ratzon Hashem. This is something which is all part of that Avodas Hashem. For the Rav, in a certain sense, if I'm going to be a counselor in Hask, my question is going to be a little bit different. You want to experience a certain connection my child has to be. What are the halakhic questions that come up at each stage? I chose that example because there are a lot of them. What are the halakh obligations I have at each stage of being a counselor there? So many shilas that come up, Baruch Hashem, but there are a lot of questions that come up. I have to miss davening because I'm taking care of the camper and this happens. I have questions about when can I do this, when can I do this. There's so many questions that come up. For the Rav, a person who is halakhically aware and sensitive, he's asking in those times, what does halakha say? That is the person that experiences much less of a double life and much more of a broad life. Less just the question of, is that part and parcel of my Avodas Hashem? Again, they're all connected. But for the Rav, I think what links it together is really the shaila of, what are my halachic obligations here? Viewing my counselor, as my job as a counselor, in terms of halachic, what am I chayav to do? What am I chayav to do? And let's go through all the details. But in other places in the Rav, I think you get an idea, which is a bit more of a, where you experience a bit, where the Rav may have thought, at least again in other writings, there's a certain kind of tension that exists between the two things, and maybe a certain kind, a different kind of double life. Reuven Ziegler points out in source number 7, the Rav in certain writings, with the other writings, with Chaim Navon, has a nice, from Modi'in, has a nice book, Nechaz B'Svach, on the thought of the Rav. In the first chapter, I think, he compares this between the Rav and Rav Kook, and talks a lot about the Rav's thought about this. The Rav believed that dialectic plays a major role for the Rav. The Rav believed that often in life, though maybe eventually gets resolved, there are certain kinds of tensions that a person exists, that exist in a person, and then we're not always going to resolve them. There's a certain kind of tension sometimes exists, and the goal is not to resolve them, but to learn how to live with that tension. I have a thing that's a major difference sometimes between, if you listen to definitely in the Tzioni world, because of Cook's book all the time about harmony and uniting things, a difference, at least when I listen to a Rav Ben Yaakov or even Rav Yammer sometimes, and they speak a lot about realizing how everything is really one. And if you're a real Rav person, sometimes you're like, no, there's tension, and you have to learn how to live with tension. The Rav's mahalach, in a certain sense, when you speak of tension, is sometimes not as comforting, because it means that we're going to live with a certain tension. But I happen to think, in a deeper sense, sometimes it gives meaning to the tension that we experience. If you look, for example, in Majesty and Humility, a very important work of the Rav writes, man is a dialectical being. An inner schism runs through his personality at every level. We always experience a certain kind of tension. The Rav understands that often Judaic dialectic is irreconcilable and hence intermittent. You can't avoid it. We accepted a dialectic. There's something, there's a tension which is always there. Just to experience, to give you one example of that tension, which I think relates to a little bit to how a person feels when they work in confrontation. This is a very important work of the Rav, relates to dealing with those who are interfaith dialect, people outside of Orthodoxy. The Rav there highlights a very famous tension. Av Mavina, when he says to Ephraim, Ger v'toshav, Anochi imachem, I'm a Ger and Toshav with you. The Rav understands, if you look there, how can that be? Is that not illogical? How can I be both a Ger and a Toshav? A Ger is someone who's a foreigner, someone who's not really welcome. A Toshav is a real member of that society. How can I be both a Ger and a Toshav at the same time? And the Rav writes that is that what perceive on some level seems like a contradiction, that is how the Jew interacts with this world. We are a Ger and a Toshav. And this is an important point when a person already leading to where we're going to go with this, a certain kind of a tension a person feels when I'm out there and I'm working to know on the one hand, I'm a Toshav. I'm a real member of this society. I want to contribute to this society. I want to play an important role in this society. I want to help it out however I can. But at the same time to recognize, says the Rav, There's always a distance. I'm always somewhat of an outsider. I'm always somewhat of a ger. There's a tension here between ger and tosha. The goal, says the Rav in Judaism, that Avram is describing, is not to be a ger, to be totally an outsider, nor is the goal to be a pure toshav. If you become a pure toshav, you've lost what makes us unique as Jews. The Rav, there's a certain Kedush Yisrael that gets lost. Our goal is to experience, when we're working here, when we're interacting in the world, a certain kind of tension. And I would suspect that one who doesn't feel that tension while they're working is in a very complicated place. If you don't feel at all, you're pure toshav, and you never feel that distance, I think there's something that's very, very hard for you. And if you're a pure ger, you feel so removed that you're not even contributing, so I think you're losing out on some of that meaning. The Rav in particular in one place highlights, this is in Lonely Man of Faith, this is a very important work of the Rav. The Rav, it's one of the more famous ideas in his philosophy, where the Rav introduces us to two different kinds of people, a certain tension that exists, and it's, for many, it's a certain kind of tension, which I think for the Rav, a person who's working sometimes feels, if it's not a direct connection, a minimum, it highlights a certain model. The Rav points out as follows, we're not going to do justice at all to this right now, but just to introduce some of the basics. The Rav points out as follows. If you look in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis of Sefer Bereishis, there are two stories of creation. Two different stories with lots of stiras as to what's going on in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. This is not a new revelation, a new insight of the Rav. Chazal are aware of that. Rashi talked about it. Mefarshim talked about that. That Perek Aleph and Perek Beis seem to describe a lot of stiras and how creation was exactly done, how man was created, where Chava comes, a lot of different stiras. For Bible critics, they look at that and say it's because there were two stories of creation. Araya already from the beginning, that there's not one author of the Torah. The Torah is a collection of different man-made works. Now, as some pointed out, if you were trying to write a work and come off and fake it as coming from God, the last thing that you would probably do is have your first two chapters seem contradictory, meaning it wouldn't have been a good move then, versus a short response to the Bible critics. If the Torah, if you're a Bible critic, you think that it was presented as the Word of God, but really written by man, it's a strange way of trying to trick people by putting in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis with very, you're not tricking that many people if the stira is that blatant. Chazal were aware of the stira, and the Rav offers a different way of relating to that stira. The Rav writes as follows. The two parshios there, Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, in Sefer Bereishis, are not, says the Rav, the two different descriptions of what happened. They're two descriptions, two different elements of man. There is Adam 1 and Adam 2. He was described in Perek Aleph, Sefer Bereishis, and man described in Perek Beis. And for the Rav, again, it's like a philosophical reading of the beginning of Chumash, there are two different elements of mankind, two different parts of us that we feel as individuals. It's built into us. The Bo'an Shalom wants us to cultivate two different parts of our personality. They build different communities, and a certain tension which is always there. Without going into the diyukim in the psukim as to where the Rav gets this from, there is Adam 1 and Adam 2. Adam 1, says the Rav, is created in Tzelem Elokim. But Adam 1 is man in his very active role. Man who is focused, if you look here. Man's likeness to God expressed itself in man's striving and ability to become a creator. Adam 1, the first one, Vikith Shuha, the command to conquer and rule the world, is man's desire to be active, to control, for the Rav to be majestic, to have dignity. That the first element of man, part of what we feel, is to be actively involved and engaged in the world to give man more dignity. Says the Rav, with certain technological advances, certain diseases that used to wipe us out that now we control, man is more of a dignified figure. Adam 1 asks the question, not why are things the way they are, but how does it work in very practical terms? Because I want to create it also. For the Rav, one element of man's personality is the desire, the rutzon, to be active. He's only curious to know how it works. Even this is limited in scope. He only cares the practical, technical how question. In other words, dignity was equated by David HaMelech with man's capability of dominating his environment and exercising control over it. Man acquires dignity through glory, through his majestic posture vis-a-vis his environment. Man, Adam 1, one part of who we are, one part of our creation, is the rutzon, the natural rutzon that we have to be very active, to be engaged in the world, to dominate, to control, in a certain sense, our environment, to be like, in a certain sense, Mahu Afata, to be like the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is a creator. For Nefesh HaChayim, that's what Tzelem Elokim means. That as God is a creator, we're also creators. For the Rav, Tzelem Elokim is man's creative capacity. That part of who we are is to build and to create. Adam 2, again, he's a lot of Diyukim in the Psukim. The second element of man, the second part of man, says the Rav, is not the man, it's a question of how this works, but why is it so? It's much more man of faith. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam create this world? What's the meaning of this world? That person is much more, he's lonelier. The first is building. So he has people he can build with. The second one, understand, his primary goal is a certain kind of emunah and a different kind of question. Not how does it work, but the question of why is it this way? How is it this way? The Rav understands that man is created with two different parts, a certain tension that's there. We're built with a rut zone. And how many, I think a lot of us probably experience this tension. A tension on the one hand to be like Adam 2, the man of faith. The person that's sitting there sometimes in a base medrash, asking the questions of why this is so, as trying to ponder, understand what's going on in a certain limud. And there's also, I think many of us are pulled sometimes to be man in his creative capacity. Man the doer. Man that's going out and being very active. The Rav understands both of those people are fulfilling a certain Ratzon Hashem, and the Rav, at least for a lot of lonely men of faith, the Rav understands that that is a tension that exists within man, and that it can't always be resolved. We have two different parts of us; they're both holy, but the tension that exists, the tension that's supposed to exist. Later on, he does at one place go and think that maybe you can bring them together a little bit, but for a lot of it, it's a certain dialectic, a certain tension that's really there. For the Rav, it's possible, I'm not writing, you know, the Rav's response to that same Talmud, but it is possible, at least in elements of the Rav's thought, the Rav would say, if you experience tension between your world of the Beis Medrash and your secular career, that the Rav would say, the goal is not developing a broad life and viewing it all as one. The goal is understanding how both of those things come from. They're who we are, and it's a fulfillment. It comes, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be doing both of those things. It's two different parts of our personality. It's two different parts of who we are. And if I experience tension between me as me, trying to build and be active in my professional life, and me as me in the world of the Beis Medrash, that it's not that bad if we experience part of that tension. It has to be like in halachic man, I'm frum and I'm religious the whole time. Rav Hunter doesn't just mean you have to be frum when you're working also. Everyone agrees that that's true. Rav Hunter means that you shouldn't experience tension. You should perceive it as all one. It's all Ratzon Hashem. It's all the same. For the Rav, sometimes a person can experience a certain kind of tension. I can experience a tension between being in a base medrash and wanting to be more active and be a counselor somewhere and help and build and to create a certain kind of environment. A person can experience that tension, and sometimes experiencing that tension is okay. I want to conclude with, I guess, conclude with 2 points. In life, the nature of our lives, maybe at this stage a little bit less, but certainly as we go forward in life, is going to involve a lot of, we're going to be in different places and doing different things. We're going to have families. We're going to have professional careers, hopefully. We're going to be learning. We're going to have a lot of things, Be'ezus Hashem. And we're going to be in different places. And the Rav Hutner highlights one Mahalach. And the Rav, at least in certain places in his writings, gives us insight into a different Mahalach. For Rav Hutner, the ultimate goal is experiencing it all as a function of Ratzon Hashem. Babitz Rebbe had similar insights. But it's all about Ma'arich Be'echad. In the middle of that circle is Hashem. And everything else, even if it seems very different, I can pull in together. and for putting that reflects the way we're supposed to learn, the way we're supposed to relate to Torah. There are a lot of things with the right orientation. It all can be pulled together. The Rav highlights a bit of a different mahalach. Sometimes I'm going to really experience tension between different parts of my personality. He's not, again, it's not a machlokas, it's highlighting a different nekuda. For the Rav, I'm going to experience tension. Many of us, I think, experience a tension between wanting to be in a base medrash and be serious about learning, and also a certain kind of other element of ourselves, a certain kind of other part where we want to be very active, we want to be very engaged. And for the Rav to realize, it's not bad to have that tension. Sometimes, at least for me, I'm talking with someone and he feels bad about that tension. And for the Rav, don't feel bad about it. We have to learn how to manage it. We have to learn how to live with it. We have to learn how to cultivate different sides of ourselves. And certainly for the Rav, that world of Adam, the Emunah, and the world of the Beis Medrash is a very dominant one. It's a very dominant one. But a chashivas in the world of those who are going out and those who are more active is certainly there also. Certainly there also. People to live with attention is something which is very nice. When I was in, I'll just end with this, I find it to be very cute, with a couple of guys. When I was in New Rochelle before Pesach, so the minyan on Friday night in New Rochelle, like many places in America, is they make Friday night davening, early Shabbos is always 7 o'clock. That's a shaila in halacha, the minyan in Eretz Yisrael, to be more mock, in America is to be more make on that, different shailas, what a person should do, which is not at all for now. And that's a 7 o'clock minyan, it's a tarsit sasri. In a certain sense, you're davening mincha at a time which is only good for one manda amar, you're davening marav at a time which is only good for a different manda amar, and there are different questions in terms of how exactly that works. There's a guy in New Rochelle who, when I was in high school, I used to learn with a lot. He was very, very helpful with me in high school. He was then, he's a Balabas New Rochelle, he gives a lot of chaburas, he's fantastic. And when I was in high school, he was finishing YU Smicha at the time, and I was like a high school kid that, you know, would agree to learn with him, so he used to like pull me in all the time, and I'd end up learning with him. It was very, very nice. So he told me, Aldera Drush, he didn't mean this literally, but he told me that he always finds value, he finds religious value in davening Tarsit Sasri on Friday night. Because he said he feels like a lot of his life is Tarsit Sasri. A lot of his life between the learning that he does, which is very nice, and the work that he does, which is a different side of his personality, it's almost like in a certain sense, come Friday night, I'm being Mekadesh the Tarsit Sasri. It's as if I am sanctifying, in a certain sense, that inner, I mean, it's Aldera Drush, but I think it's a beautiful insight, if I'm meaning it. There's a certain kind of tension that we experience in life, and learning how to, that's not a halachic argument, and learning how to find holiness and find redemption in that kind of attention is something that's really there. I think these are two different mahacham that are really very relevant in many ways for the related things. Shkoyach, guys, and have a really wonderful Shabbos. What time is that? 5:50? What time is clock?